All right, good afternoon. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Book of Matthew, chapter 28. We're going to be looking from verse 16 through 20. Matthew 28. Verses 16 through 20. Even as you guys are turning to that specific portion of scripture, I know that especially for our students, I think y'all have, 2 weeks left, right? I know that finals are coming up soon. There's just going to be a lot of things that are going on, a lot of things to think about. But I do want to encourage you, even as Anse mentioned, to sign up for Campus Missions Week. And so one of the things that we are praying, at least for me, one of the things that I'm praying for is at least 30 of our students signing up to participate in Campus Missions Week before you leave. Now, I know that the trend usually has been, you know, as summer progresses and as it gets closer and closer to the start of the new school year, a lot of people sign up, which is great. But I really want to encourage us to think about signing up and really taking the summer months to be praying and really investing into the missions field before we come back. And so I'm really going to be praying and challenging some of our students to sign up. And so our goal is to get 30 students signed up before you guys leave, okay? All right. Well, today's going to be a little bit different. So we are going to take the month of May to finish off the book of Hebrews as well as transition into the summer. But we're actually going to do something a little bit different today. So I'm going to keep my message fairly short because I feel like more than anything, I think we really need to be praying. So let's get started. Well, there are historical moments when you think about it, certain historical moments that live in our minds. When we think about those things, it really, we celebrate them, the accomplishments. We recognize the importance of it. And then there are other historical moments that will live forever in infamy, right? So for example, if you are but for the Chicago Cubs fans, my wife is from Chicago, they won the World Series in 2016. I don't know if you guys remember this. And that was their first time winning it since 1908. And I have a short video clip of how they reacted to this accomplishment. So let's go ahead and watch this short clip together. Well, reason why the people were so happy is because, you know, there's the famous Chicago Cubs curse, right? The last time they won it was 1908. Got close a couple times, and they're finally able to win it in 2016. Versus, there was another historical moment in the history of the Cubs known as the Steve Bartman incident, right? The Cubs were playing against the Florida Marlins in the postgame. They were five outs away from reaching the World Series, and this is what happened. All right, let's go and watch this clip together. And the gentleman's name is Steve Bartman. All right. Five outs away. And that moment forever changed the momentum where they eventually lost. Not only did they lose, but it's crazy. So the city went crazy. And I remember hearing the news where cops actually had to like protect his house and so forth. And they blew up that ball, right, as a symbol of appeasing the baseball gods. I mean, it's crazy. It was a historical moment for the Cubs fans, but for all the wrong reasons. So I start off today with these examples. I know that they're a little bit dramatic, but because today is actually an important day for us. Many of you know that we were scheduled today to do our baptism service. But this year, I think this is really the first time in our church's history where throughout this entire year, we don't have anyone getting baptized, okay? And so it's a historic moment, but maybe not necessarily for all the right reasons. I know that was a very dramatic entrance, but I just want to share certain things that God has placed in my heart. And I just want to make sure I'm sharing this carefully because, on one hand, it is disappointing Because when you think about baptism, it's not just a ceremony itself, but really the baptism is such an important aspect of who we are as believers, as followers of Jesus Christ. And not only who we are, but ultimately what we're called to do, right? That it's not just celebration of a ceremony, but it has a deeper meaning for us as those who are called to follow Christ. And so in a healthy church where we gather together to worship and as we seek God's Spirit, baptism is a natural progression of how the Spirit moves, because it means that people are not only hearing the gospel, but they're actually responding and coming to faith, okay? Now, I do know that speaking from some of you as well as our leaders, that some of you are faithful in being consistent in reaching out to those around you that don't know who Christ is. Some of you are actually taking steps of faith and sharing your faith with others, and I think that's something that we can continue to celebrate as a church, and I would really encourage you to continue that on. And really, this faithful investment that we're making in the lives of those around us, the gospel investment that we're making into their lives, that as we make that investment and as we take these steps of faith, that we really have to trust that God in his time, that he will do his work through us. Right? I was reminded of Galatians 6:9. It says, "And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up." If we do not give up. And I think some of you, God is really wanting to encourage you by continuing to challenge you to keep going, to not give up in the investments, not give up in sharing with others about who Christ is, not give up going on campus and passing out ramen, right? Not give up in doing the gospel work, because in due time, and we don't know when that due time might be, but his promise is that in due time we will reap a harvest. That's what the NIV translates. It says, in due time we will reap a harvest. And so I just really want to encourage some of you to continue your faithfulness in the investments that you're making, because it's really going to be through your perseverance that we'll be able to reap a harvest of souls that will come into the kingdom of God. But for others, I believe that God is wanting to challenge us today, right? He's wanting to challenge us in how we understand our relationship with him. He's wanting to challenge us in really the grace that was demonstrated for us on the cross and how that impacts our priorities and our passions. And so I was thinking about today, and pretty much in front of me were three options of how we could go about today. First option was not to mention anything at all, right? And just act as if nothing happened, that we didn't really plan on doing baptism class and service, and just kind of go with Hebrews and try to finish up Hebrews and get back to doing business as usual. The second option was to raise an alarm, right? Thinking, okay, what's going on here? And really focus on the things that are not going on, the things that we have to make happen. But the third option is, I believe, the option that God is really wanting us to focus in on. And that third option is to believe that God works all things together for the good for those who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28 tells us that, right? That even through the season that God is bringing us through, even through the challenges that we face as a church as well as individuals, that we believe that not only is God that we serve a good God, but he is able to use all things for the good of those that he loves. And I think this is part of that, that God is going to use this baptism Sunday not only to challenge us, but also to build us up and to encourage us, and continuing on this path of transforming lost people so that we can transform the world, okay? So with that in mind, let's go ahead and read this passage. I believe that it's familiar to many of us. Matthew 28, we're going to look at verses 16 through 20, okay? Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. This is the word of God. It says, "Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" There's two implications of baptism that I want to point out from this passage. And then after that, we'll spend some time in prayer. Okay? All right, turn to your neighbor and let them know there's two implications of baptism that we're going to talk about. All right, so first, let's talk about the theological implication of baptism, the theological implication. It's very clear that Jesus says to go and to make disciples, and then we do that by baptizing and teaching. So obviously, baptism is really important. And so what is baptism, and why does Jesus command his disciples to get baptized? We can think about baptism, and this is what we say in our church, that it's an outward expression of our inward faith. That's what baptism is, right? So when you think about this act of getting into the water and coming back, it's really this outward expression of this inward faith, the work that God is doing in our hearts. And so there's a couple of things that we have to understand about this outward expression of our inward faith. And so I want to point out three things. First thing that we notice about this outward expression of this inward faith is that this inward faith and this outward expression, that it was ultimately ordained by Jesus, right? The command is very clear that we are to go and to make disciples. How do we do that? We baptize them and we teach them. So it's a command that Jesus himself gives us. So this verse is very clear that when we talk about baptism, baptism is not necessary for salvation. There's only one way for us to be saved, which is our faith in Christ and Christ alone. And so on one hand, it's not necessary for us to experience salvation. But on the other hand, it is necessary for us to live our lives in faithful obedience to Jesus' desire for us. So he says, when I tell you to go and make disciples, when I tell you to baptize, and when I tell you to teach, that it's not an option, right? He's not giving us three things and he's saying, pick two out of the three. But he's saying, these are the things that I'm expecting my disciples to live their lives in obedience. So baptism is something that Jesus expects his church to engage in and for his disciples to participate in. And that's why my encouragement to any of us who have made that personal profession in following Christ, but if you've never been baptized, to be baptized, because that's part of what it means to live our lives in obedience to what Christ is calling us to do. And when you think about baptism, it's not necessarily that you have to be at a certain place of faith, because the stories that we see, especially throughout the book of Acts, is that when people come to know Christ, that it's at that point that they become baptized, because it's an expression of what God is doing in their hearts and in their lives. So first of all, baptism is ordained by Jesus. But not only that, this outward expression of this inward faith, that it's really this symbol. It symbolizes our union with Christ. It symbolizes our union with Christ. And I believe one of the reasons why Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize new believers, that as we go and as we share our faith and as people come to know Christ, that we are called to baptize them. I believe one of the reasons why Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize new believers is because their baptism will serve as this powerful reminder that they now belong to Christ. So when we see people getting baptized, it's a reminder not only for the person that's getting baptized, but for all of us, that that's their public declaration that they now belong to Christ. This is what Paul says in Romans 6, 3 through 4. He says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." And so think about what Paul is saying there. He's saying that we demonstrate this faith that we have in Christ, that he died for our sins and that he rose again to give us this new life. We demonstrate that faith through our baptism. And so when you think about it, baptism is this union with Christ in the sense that it's the participation where we identify ourselves with the death of Christ. And not only that, but we identify ourselves with the resurrection of Christ. And so baptism is a powerful way for us to say that I belong to Christ, right? And so I have a picture of wedding ring. So when you see a picture of a wedding ring, what does it remind you of? Well, besides, you know, like church bells and romance and flower and all that good stuff, right? Like when you see someone who wears a wedding ring, what does that tell you? That person is off the market, right? No matter how attractive that person might look, I mean, they're off the market. Why? It's because they already belong to someone else, right? It's this public declaration that they belong to someone else. And when I think about baptism, it's that same declaration that we are making as a church. It's that same declaration that this individual is making, that they now belong to Christ because they're able to identify themselves with the death and the resurrection of Jesus. And this outward expression of this inward faith, not only is it ordained by God, not only does it symbolize our union with Christ, but it's also significant in the sense that it signifies our new life in Christ. It signifies our new life in Christ. So when you think about it, because now we have been united with Christ, because of this union that we have with Christ, and because we belong to Christ, in that union we experience what? This newness of life. And so that's what baptism reminds us of. It's significant because it signifies our new life in Christ. We now live with this new life that Christ has spoken into our lives, which means it is a life that speaks about this relationship that has been restored back to God. It's a life that speaks about this new passion in our pursuit of God now and really inviting others in that pursuit. So our baptism symbolizes being raised to new life in Christ. Because when you think about the word baptized, literally it means to be immersed, and it has this connotation of washing something, and that's how the people would have understood, right? They would have gone to the river, no washing machines back then, gone to the river, and they would have dunked whatever it is that they're washing, and they would wash it as they immersed it in water. And that's what Jesus is calling us to experience, this washing in a sense that we are being washed through his sacrifice, his blood that was spilled for our sins. Why? So that in him that we can experience this newness of life. And so when you think about it, every time you struggle in your faith, right? Every time you are tempted to think, whether it's about yourself, whether it's what's going on in your life, whether it's about someone else, in a way where it's not according to God's truth, then think about the time that you were baptized. Because it reminds you of not only what Christ has done, but because of what he has done, that in you he has established this new life. Because every time I look at my ring, I am reminded that I belong to my wife. I think baptism is very significant because it was commanded by Jesus, that it reminds us that we have been united to Christ, and in that union that we have this new life. We have this new purpose. We have this new mission that God is sending us out with. And so not only the theological implication, but I want to close with the missiological implication of baptism, right? Missiological simply meaning being on mission. Because we see what Jesus is saying, and it's really in the context of the Great Commission, and we use this verse when we talk about world missions and evangelization, right? And so the question is, why did Jesus purposefully include baptism as part of his last commission, this great commission? Because obviously he's purposefully including baptism
Because he doesn't just say, go and make disciples. And then in his other teachings, he says, by the way, if you're my disciple, then you should be baptized. I think he's purposeful in telling his disciples that as we go and make disciples, we baptize and we teach. And I think there's three practical implications when we think about this mission that Jesus is sending us to, okay? First implication is this, that baptism, it points us to our mission. It points us to our mission. It's important not only because of what it stands for, our union with Christ, this new life that we have in Christ, but it ultimately reminds us that what God is calling us to do as a church is to make disciples of all nations. And as we make disciples of all nations, ultimately it glorifies his name. And it reminds us of this mission that he is birthing in every single one of us. I remember going to Peru and experiencing this. We had the privilege of going into the jungles. We were right next to one of the tributaries of the Amazon River, preaching the gospel, doing like a crusade in this village as people have come to know Christ. I remember the pastor of that village telling our pastor, why don't we baptize the people? And so we went to the river, and I was remember like going to the river, I was thinking like, are there piranhas? Like, are there alligators? I don't know what's gonna happen. But thank God I'm not in the river, right? And we had the privilege of baptizing these new believers right there. And I just remember thinking, man, what an awesome privilege. Not only to witness the baptism of these new believers, but I was just thinking, it was such a powerful reminder for me, but that this is what we are called to do. That my purpose goes beyond just being at that time a grad student at the University of Michigan campus. But my purpose is to go and to make disciples. That this is the mission that God is inviting me to participate with him. And I think when we see baptism, it's not necessarily that we're aiming for baptism, because when we see baptism, we can pat ourselves on the back and say, well done. We did what we were supposed to do. But when we see baptism, it reminds us that there is a greater mission that God is calling us to. When you think about this process of making disciples, right? Part of that process of making disciples is to mature disciples. And I've been so encouraged by testimonies of hearing people wanting to be discipled and wanting to learn to pray and to read the Word of God and together and so forth. And that's been such an encouragement when I hear these testimonies. But when you think about it, it goes beyond that. It's not growth for the sake of growth, but it's growth to be empowered as we participate in building God's kingdom, in advancing his purposes. And so baptism, it reminds us and it encourages us in our mission. Not only that, number two, when we think about the missiological implication, baptism, it reminds us that our calling is to engage in spiritual work, right? It's to engage in spiritual work, because when you think about this context of Great Commission, it starts by Jesus reminding them of what authority in heaven and earth that's been given to them. And so it's Jesus declaring his power and his authority, first of all, to send his disciples, saying, I have the authority to send you wherever I want to send you. And not only that, but it's power and authority to ultimately save the lost through his disciples. It's not the work that the disciples themselves are doing, but it's through their availability as they are willing to go that it's Jesus' power and authority that ultimately saves the lost. And we see that theme being carried over into the book of Acts. When Jesus sends his disciples, he says to what? To go out in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so you think about, why do we need to be armed with the power of the Holy Spirit as we go? Well, it's because being a witness to the death and the resurrection of Christ, that ultimately it is spiritual work that we cannot accomplish either through our physical or our intellectual means. So baptism reminds us that even though Christ is sending us out, that it ultimately has to be Christ who works through us, which means that even as we obey and go, that we are reminded that we need to go in dependence and we need to go in desperation for him to work through our lives. And so maybe this is a wonderful reminder for some of us that even as we are going and even as we are trying our best to cultivate these relationships, that ultimately that it can't be about your effort and what you are trying to do, but that we have to be dependent, that we have to be desperate for the Spirit of God to move, that we need to be praying for the power of the Holy Spirit to be at work, because baptism, it points us to this reality that the calling that we have is to engage in spiritual work. Because I don't know about you, but the last time I checked, it's only the Spirit of God that is able to change the hearts of people. And not only that, the last missiological implication of baptism is simply this, that baptism displays God's lavish love over every individual. When you think about baptism, it displays God's lavish love over every individual, right? Going and making disciples of all nations. The reason why we are passionate about this great commission is because God is passionate about each and every individual who are made in his image. And I know that we can get lost in this context of starting this movement of going, but when you think about it, who is this movement ultimately going to impact? Well, it's going to impact every individual that we come into contact with, because it's about these individuals that God cares deeply for. And so every time I see a person getting baptized, I'm reminded that every individual is a precious child of God, which means that if you are a believer, that means that you are a precious child of God who is now restored back to God. But if a person is not a believer, that means that they are still a precious child of God, that God is wanting and working to restore back to himself. The Word of God tells us that God would leave the 99 behind for the sake of one, because every individual matters to God. I believe Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize new believers as part of this great commission. First of all, because when you think about baptism, it glorifies God. It's not just about, yay, church, we did what we were supposed to do, but it's an opportunity for us to glorify God, because it's this visible testimony of the work that God is doing within the hearts of people. And not only does it glorify God, but Jesus commands his disciples to baptize others because it encourages fellow believers. I can't remember the last time I went to a baptism service where afterwards I was like, oh, I'm so discouraged, right? All these people getting baptized. Oh my goodness, what in the world is going on? No, it encourages us because it reminds us, first of all, it's a visible testimony of the grace of God that is at work in their lives. But not only that, but it reminds us of the grace of God that is at work in our lives as well. And not only does it encourage fellow believers, but ultimately it testifies to the pre-Christians about who God is. Right? Baptism is really an opportunity for us as a church to brag about God. Right? You meet new parents all the time. And inevitably, whenever you start talking to new parents, the conversation that comes up is the conversation of, here's my baby, right? Look how beautiful my child is. What are you going to say to that? I think they're okay. You know, like, maybe they're average. Like, no, you're going to be like, yeah, that's so pretty. Right? That child is precious to that parent, and they're bragging. And when I think about it, that's what baptism is. It's us as a church saying, look at the great God that we worship. And it's an opportunity for us to brag about who God is. And what I need you to understand is that, you know, we're not talking about baptism, even though we're not doing baptism service, because somehow we need to get on the ball now. But I think there is something that is amiss about not having opportunities to experience baptism as the body of Christ. And so the one thing that I do want to leave and encourage us with before we pray a little bit is simply this, that we are passionate about baptism, first of all, because it glorifies the name of Jesus. And not only that, but it also encourages us in the mission of Jesus. That we are passionate about baptism because it glorifies the name of Jesus and it encourages us in the mission of Jesus. Okay? All right, let's pray together. Like I shared with us in the beginning, I don't necessarily want this time to be like, oh my gosh, like we failed as a church because we don't have anyone getting baptized. Right? On the other hand, we don't want it to be about us. But on the flip side, I don't think we can ignore the significance of this moment. And maybe the significance of this moment and the good that God is wanting to do through this non-baptism service is to really challenge us as a church and to recenter us on this vision of going and making disciples of all nations. Because to me, baptism is not the end goal. Baptism is really the fruit, right? The fruit of us engaging in the mission of Christ. And for those of you who are engaged in the mission of Christ, then I want to encourage you to continue to press on. Because we know that baptism, it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of our friends, our co-workers, our family members, the people that we love dearly. And maybe what today is a reminder for all of us is that we really need, even as we are pressing and investing into these relationships, that we need to be dependent. More than anything, that we need to be reminded today that it has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. And maybe the missing ingredient in that relationship is us being cloaked with power from on high. And I pray that today will breathe in us the sense of desperation. To say, as a church, we don't exist just for believers. But we need to exist for people who are outside the church. But if we don't see any signs that we are influencing the people outside the church, then we're being hypocritical. And so for those of you who are pursuing and investing into these relationships, I want to encourage you to don't give up. To don't give up. To continue to sow the seeds. And even as you are sowing the seeds, ask the Holy Spirit to do that work. So that as the Spirit of God works within the hearts of the people that we love so dearly, that in his time that we will see a harvest so that we will be able to praise God, to say, God, this is the work that you were able to do. so that in our hearts that we will be reminded and encouraged in the mission that Christ is calling us to participate in. And maybe for some of us, today is really a challenge in thinking about our understanding of the grace of God that is at work in our lives in the context of God's great commission. That it can't be the responsibility of the few in the church, but it has to be all of us as the community of faith that says, God, break our hearts for the things that break your heart. And when you think about the things that break God's heart, it's his people who are lost. And so I don't want to be a church where we are callous to the things of God's heart, where we're satisfied in our worship, where we're satisfied in our fellowship. Where we neglect to steward over God's grace in making an impact in the lives of others. And I pray that as a church, that today will serve as a reminder that it's not just about us gathering together on Sundays for 2 hours to sing, hear a message. Sometimes you like it, other times you're confused and leave and go about our lives. Because there's so much at stake. And maybe it's this season and this reminder where we're coming before God to say, God, break our hearts. God, burden our hearts. God, forgive us if we've been doing business as usual. Forgive us if we've been unfaithful in stewarding over this grace that you have spoken into our lives. And may we never be a church that exists for ourselves, but may we be a church that exists for your glory, God, and for your fame to go forth all throughout this campus and this city. And I know that some of you in this place, that as you are looking around, even with the passion and the burdens that God has placed in your heart, that you get frustrated because you look around and you're thinking, man, where are the people who have the same passion and the same heart to go and to reach the lost? And my encouragement to you would be, pray that frustration will turn into compassion, that frustration, that it will turn into an opportunity, that you will be that spark that God will use to light a fire at the very center of this church. That we have to exist for something that is greater than just our experience as believers. That we have to exist for the glory of God, to make his name known, and we have to exist for a greater mission. And like I said, it's disappointing, but I'm not discouraged by any means. Because I know that God is at work. I know that God is challenging some of you. And I know that some of you are taking those steps of faith. But I think today is a reminder of this very important commission that Jesus spoke into the hearts of his disciples, this very last truth that he spoke into them before he was taken up to heaven, this last truth to go and to make disciples of all nations by baptizing them and by teaching them that everything that I have taught you. This reminder that as a church, that we have to strive for this commission. So let's stand together. I just really feel like we want to be praying. Like I said, it's not a matter of, okay, that somehow we have to try harder as a church. Because, you know, our ultimate aim isn't to have as many people getting baptized as possible. Baptism is not the end goal, but it's making Christ known. It's worship. But baptism is a fruit of whether true worship is happening within the context of the body of Christ. And if we don't see signs of true fruit that comes from true worship, then first of all, we have to try to discern, okay, what season are we in? Maybe it is season of just, we just need to be faithful in sowing and praying and depending on God. But also it challenges us to think about, okay, how are we worshiping? Are we worshiping in a way where God is glorified, that he's pleased? Or are we worshiping in a way where we're pleased, but maybe the Spirit isn't moving? And so we're going to pray before we leave to say, God, glorify yourself. God, remind us, God, of this great commission that you have spoken into our hearts. This commission of grace. This commission of power. Remind us, God. And help us to be faithful. God, in the areas that we lack, equip us, God, empower us. God, burden our hearts. Even as we believe that you are the one who has to work within the hearts of people to come to know you, that it has to be your Spirit even now here in this place that is at work within the hearts of your people to encourage, to challenge, so that we will go forth to be the church that exists not for us, but a church that exists for your glory. So I'm just going to invite us to pray a little bit, okay? First of all, let's pray for ourselves as we are reminded of the mission. As we are reminded of God's incredible love for those around us. As we are reminded that what God is calling us to do, it's impossible for us to accomplish, and we need the power of the Holy Spirit. And as we begin to pray for ourselves, let's pray for our missions field to say, God, help to open our eyes and help us to see that the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And so we as a church, Lord, that we want to pray, we want to labor, we want to depend, we want to cry out to you to say, God, send workers into the harvest field. So can we do that, church? Can we pray for those two things? And so whether you want to remain standing, if you want to take a seat, go ahead and do that. Let's pray for a little bit. And let's ask God to sink these truths deep into our hearts, okay? Let's pray together.